A big bank will actually make a person look at the paperwork before it forecloses on a home.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In New York today, regulators are expected to announce they've reached a deal with Goldman Sachs and that the bank has agreed to stop robo-signing. According to this morning's Wall Street Journal, Goldman and two mortgage servicing firms agreed to take a closer look at foreclosure and mortgage documents before taking any homes back. Marketplace's Eve Troeh is here live with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what's being agreed to, Eve?
Well, so these companies are going to go over foreclosure files that they already robo-signed to make sure there's no mishandling there, and they won't be doing any robo-signing in the future. There's also some reduction in mortgage payments for 143 loans in New York, and it's New York's new financial services regulator who brokered this deal. It happened because Goldman wants to sell a mortgage servicing company that it owns, and the state said, nope. Before you do that, you have to do something for us.
And robo-signing is what has gotten the banks into a lot of trouble in the last year or so, right?
Yes. Probably the most high-profile example is Bank of America. It had to stop foreclosing on homes altogether late last year until it could prove it was doing so legally. And really, all the big banks have rubbed up against the law on this. There are apparently talks with state attorneys general around the nation that could lead to billions of dollars in settlements. But states also want to regulate these mortgage servicers. Those are the companies hired by the banks to collect mortgage payments. One of those servicers, called Litton, is the company Goldman wants to sell, and it's already under investigation in New York for denying clients refinancing. So deals like the one today are really about those smaller financial fish as much as the big banks.
Marketplace's Eve Troeh. Thanks so much, Eve.
Thank you.
Well, today we'll find out how the world's car makers fared last month. And analysts are expecting the auto industry will continue to be a bright spot in an otherwise shaky economy. Marketplace's Alisa Roth reports.
The good news is 2011 car sales are shaping up to be better than 2010. The bad news is we're still buying about 4 million fewer cars every year than we did before the recession. Paul Taylor is chief economist at the National Automobile Dealers Association. He says Americans aren't in a hurry to buy, but their cars are getting old.
That's driving a lot of customers in based on need, and they remain skeptical of an economy that's not fully meeting their expectations.
Used car prices are up, which Taylor says is helping new car sales, because used cars are so expensive now, a lot of people figure they might as well buy new. Jessica Caldwell is an analyst at Edmunds.com. She says there are usually big sales around Labor Day, and now is the time when dealers start making room for next year's models.
Generally speaking, we're in that model year sell-down mode, so for people wanting to get a deal on a 2011 model, it's really a good time to start shopping.
Taylor, the economist, thinks dealers will be sweetening incentives to build sales momentum through the rest of the year. I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed overseas this morning. Tokyo up a little more than 1%, but across Europe, we're lower, down about 0.5% in London right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 53 points to close at 11,613. That means it has finally returned to positive territory for the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
A new Associated Press poll out of Japan today finds that 6 months after the earthquake that caused that nuclear accident at Fukushima, more than half of the Japanese people want to reduce their country's reliance on nuclear energy. Here in the U.S., just the opposite is happening. Last month, regulators in Georgia approved new construction of nuclear power plants. And in Florida, there's a discussion going on about the economics of restarting an old nuclear power plant. Robin Sussingham reports now from WUSF in Tampa.
This summer, Progress Energy did something extremely rare. The company invited reporters into one of its nuclear plants.
In light of the events of Fukushima in Japan, we felt it was important to invite the media in to become transparent with our business.
That's John Frank, vice president of the Crystal River Nuclear Plant. It's about 80 miles north of Tampa. Frank had to answer questions about more than nuclear safety. The larger concern here is that this plant hasn't generated any power since 2009. That's when workers cut a hole in the thick concrete containment wall so they could bring in a new steam generator. That work created cracks in the concrete. Repairs took more than a year, and when the company was almost ready to start producing power again, it found more cracks. Vincent Dolan is the president of Progress Energy in Florida. He says no other nuclear plant has had these problems.
It was a unique sort of situation, one that was not something that we think we could have foreseen.
It's going to cost about $1 billion to repair. The company and its ratepayers are hopeful, but not certain, that insurance will pay for it. John Moyle represents industrial users who want to keep rates low. He says the Crystal River nuclear plant reminds him of an old Tom Hanks movie.
The money pit that just keeps going and going and more money keeps going in.
The repairs will be expensive, but not doing anything would cost more. The plant provided 10% of Progress Energy's power, and President Vincent Dolan says nuclear energy is cheap, cheaper than replacement fuels like natural gas.
It would essentially cost $300 million more per year to consumers to not have that plant be available to us to run.
And that cost is based on today's natural gas prices, which are low. But that price could easily change, and consumers worry as the unplanned costs pile up. In Tampa, I'm Robin Sessingham for Marketplace.
And finally, to what could be a new trend for companies trying to get something from governments. Yesterday, before the story broke that the Justice Department has some antitrust issues with the AT&T T-Mobile deal, there was a plea from AT&T. Let this deal go through and we'll bring 5,000 call center jobs to the U.S. Well, in this morning's L.A. Times, there's a similar plea from Amazon, which wants to avoid collecting sales tax in California. Amazon is offering to hire 7,000 workers and build a $500 million facility if it can avoid the taxes. Funny, I don't remember Amazon hiring 7,000 workers back in June when they weren't collecting sales tax in California. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Green jobs and alternative energy are hot investments. Climate change, not really.
Climate adaptation is looking out 25, 50 years into the future. It's just not seen as a high priority in a lot of places.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Coastal cities investing in climate change now or paying later. We'll have the day's business news as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.